Skies all open wide, geese go high and over. Oh, now you're a beachcomber, fistful of samphire. See, lavender. See ya next year.
Farm Chat with Nathan and Jason.
Jason and Nathan are the dynamic duo from the wonderful Deepdale Farm on the North Norfolk coast.
So hello and welcome to the March episode of the Deepdale podcast. March 2021. We're standing up on Big Breck, surrounded by leftover carrots, not potatoes. And you may hear us shouting at the dogs going, no, because they're very, very keen on eating leftover carrots, which are just a little bit on the rotten side, and the effects can be less than pleasant. So we're trying to avoid that. And so apologies if we have to go, oh, Mabel, don't eat that. She's looking at me very guiltily now. Anyway, we're standing, the field is our highest field, really, on the farm, and most southerly, pretty much. And it looks out across the stunning views across Scolthead Island, over to Burnham Overy, and it is one of the favourite views on the farm. But today, not so much. A bit grey, none of the beautiful blue skies and stunning colours that so many of you enjoyed on the North Norfolk coast. It's just a little bit, how did you describe it?
Edge of the world type.
Going to fall off.
Yeah, bit edge of the worldy. Yeah, it's just don't wander too far that way. You don't know what's gonna be there. Looks like nothing at the moment. Lost in the mists.
Europe is over there somewhere.
Yes, Vikings.
Yes,
monsters.
Yes, the Dutch are there somewhere. Yes. The strangers.
Yes.
In case you don't know your history, they were called the strangers when they came over to the UK, and there's a Strangers Hall in Norwich, and there's lots of interconnection. But anyway,
I'm glad you explained that, because I just thought you had it in for the Dutch.
No, I promise you not. There is a very, very wonderful hall called the Strangers Hall in
Norwich. I've seen it.
Have you been there?
Benedict Street.
Yes.
That's very close to the excellent Bicycle Shop Cafe.
Oh, yes. Eggs Benedict in the Bicycle Shop. Oh. Sorry, we mustn't get excited about
things
like that.
Come on, lockdown. I'm looking forward to going back.
But anyway, so the strangers are over there somewhere there. But we're looking at the field and we're trying to decide, as seems to have been our year, really, of standing in fields and working out how we're going to make them best work with countryside stewardship and cropping. Pop it, leave it. And the dogs are looking for leftover carrots. And we're looking, we've got a little sort of a wet patch in the middle of the field, which... I don't know, it might be a pit hole at some point, or it's just basically would like to be a pond but isn't really in the right place.
It's an interesting place, this. I mean, this field is called Big Breck, and a breck is an area of rough, rocky, sandy, undulating ground. And as we stand here, we can see that this is very much
undulating
and sandy, and it's full of stones.
Yeah. And it's like a large gravel pit, basically. Yeah.
I mean, field names every so often, you know, they're not that difficult, really. It's big and it's a breck. So, ta-da!
Ta-da!
And we actually, as we look in the opposite corner of the field from us, what's quite interesting also is that there is a clump of trees, and in the opposite corner of the field from us, there is an old marl pit. And so one of the things that we know about the history of Norfolk is that we've got marl pits have been dug on farmland all over the county, a marl being a nutrient-rich clay that people would dig right down into the ground and pull that clay out and use that to fertilise the fields.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about marl pits is that you often find them at an elevated position in a field. You'll often find them up a hill. The whole point being, when you've dragged all the marl out of the hole, the last thing you want to do is carry it uphill. Big Breck, 60 metres roughly, 60, 65 metres elevation from the sea, which we can see from here. So this is the highest.
See the sea.
Yeah, so the highest point we
65 metres high in Norfolk is actually really quite high.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's really quite high.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's we can see the, you know, the big TV aerial from here. We can see the lovely Downs Barn. We can see we're sort of at the back of Little Wood. And it's sort of one of the places where we're hoping that we might be able to, in due course, open up a bit more public access. But it's where our hedge collective come and do quite a lot of work.
Yeah, we can see lots and lots of hedgerows from here that are all going to be renovated, coppiced, laid and gapped up over the next 2-3 years. Lots and lots of hedgerows with lots and lots of gaps that are going to be given some TLC.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, the main thing about this field is that, like, because it appears flat, it isn't by a long way, and it has quite a slope on the south side of the field. And we're sort of trying to decide at the moment whether we're dividing this field up into 2 5-hectare plots with a beetle bank and lots of countryside stewardship area around them. And we're trying to decide at the moment whether we plant the plots east-west or north-south, and it is going to be a bit of a suck it and see and try. But once we've put the beetle bank in, it's a bit of a schlep not to keep it where it is, because it's lots of ploughing backs and forwards in a dead straight line and creating a lovely habitat for all of those wonderful beasties to eat all the other little beasties that eat our crops.
Predatory so, beetles and pollinators and ground nesting birds and all sorts of goodies, yes.
Yeah, so we're hoping that it will be the places that eat all the slugs that will then not eat our crop.
Yeah. And actually, if you look, we made the first of our beetle banks on the farm recently. And if you have a look at the Deepdale Farm YouTube channel, just search YouTube for Deepdale Farm. There's a video on there about making beetle banks, and that is basically when we went out onto the farm, onto one of our fields, and got the plough out and put the beetle bank in. And there's a bit more detail there as to why we're using them and what's involved in putting them in, which was quite a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's really the last uses we're going to have for ploughs, hopefully.
Well, yeah, hopefully. I mean, hopefully we won't have to get the plough out too often, but with a beetle bank, that's pretty much the only way to do it.
Yes, yes. Exactly. And Michael, our retired foreman, who's never built a beetle bank in his life, but he did really quite enjoy being involved with that experience.
Absolutely, yeah.
It was good. So anything else interesting happening on the farm? We're sort of in that slight in-between, haven't we? We've got all the spring barley in.
Spring barley is now in the ground.
Winter wheat's already
Winter wheat is already in, and we have our winter wheat is poking up and is hopefully going to be sort of taking off before too long, and we need to sort of see how that's looking and if that's looking happy. We have later this month we'll have spring beans going in, and spring beans will be interesting. They're a new one on all of us, really. I think it's been a while since we've had spring beans.
Wasn't it someone described them as, you know, the sort of thing that, you know, I wish
they're an I wish crop. So John Porsey says they're an I wish crop, so you either say I wish I'd grown more, or I wish I hadn't bothered.
we will let you know, as they say. Yes, yeah. Yes. So that's cool. And we've got huge amounts of work happening on the site at the moment. So the guys who've been working on the roofs of the brick barn and the main barns, they're getting pretty close to finishing now. And then we've got the road being re-tarmacked. They're sort of making a nice mess of the track coming up to the top of the farm. They're putting in new curbs and speed bumps and generally trying to deal with some of the potholes, which are really quite large now.
Big enough to swallow a man.
Yeah, yeah, definitely the Suzuki. Yeah. So, it's been a funny time, and then we're sort of preparing to reopen tourism in mid-April. So fingers crossed that the roadmap continues and that we go from there. And so in this podcast, there's going to be various things coming up. I'm hoping to have a chat with Gin about their glamping offering that they're going to be offering at Deepdale on two of our pitches with their wonderful safari tents overlooking what will be a stunning field of cover crops, which is going to look really lovely. You never know, we might persuade Simon to do one of his top fives, it all depends. And I'm hoping to have a chat with Chris to chat about kind of, you know, the rest of the summer and about what we've got lined up for the Deepdale Festival in September. So lots to come on. Thank you for standing in a field and being quite cold with me. It's quite fresh up here.
Yeah.
And yeah, gone are the shorts and t-shirts we were wearing just what felt like a week ago. And then what, 3 weeks ago, we were trying to get rid of all the snow. So it's been a bit of a random month, really, hasn't it?
It's a roller coaster, but it's, yeah, I mean, this, you know, it's fine. We'll just, you know, roll with it.
Yeah, we'll just cope. But well, thanks for listening. And yeah, and enjoy the rest of the podcast. I am chatting with Jin. She is on Zoom. I'm on Zoom. We're both at home. And you probably know Jin. You must have seen Jin on on the site of Deepdale, putting up and taking down the lovely safari tents that they've been hosting people in, both at Deepdale and elsewhere on the coast. She runs a company called Margins. And I thought it'd be really nice to chat with her because we've had a long relationship with Jin. She turned up on the day that we took over Deepdale back in 2016. She was so positive and enthusiastic about what she wanted to be doing that it was really impossible for Chris and I to say, I'm sorry, but we're just too manic today to talk to you. And she's been part of our kind of extended crew at Deepdale ever since then, really. And both her and Mark, you'll have seen them helping out at all sorts of different events, from the Christmas market to the festival, helping out on all different levels. You probably bought gingerbread men from Jin during the Christmas market and in our charity cafe, or drunk one of the many teas and coffees that she's made. But they're a lovely part of what we do at Deepdale. And I thought it'd be really nice just to chat with her about kind of what inspired her to create Margins, the offering now, sort of post-COVID of what Margins is going to do. So hello, Jin, how are you?
Hello, I'm absolutely fine, thank you.
That's good, that's good. And the dogs are keeping you entertained in these ever so strange times.
They certainly are, very much so, yes. They've been an absolute tonic during this last year, I think.
Has Elfie grown much?
Her fur has. We do call her the bouffant now.
Okay, right.
A kind of a different hairstyle most days, depending on where she's been on her walks and how it's dried. But yeah, she is a character. Yeah, quite individual.
Yeah, full of character is definitely the word.
But it's been very well with us, I have to say.
Yeah, she's in a perfectly normal household. It's fine.
Yes, yes, we like to think so, yes.
I went walking with Maple yesterday, that's my chocolate Labrador, and we were walking back around to the back of Blickling, and there was a huge sort of puddle on the side of the road, and Maple thought, oh, that'll be fun, I'll just stroll through it as dogs like to do. She went in, and it was so deep that she actually went over her head, and she kind of got out of the puddle, and she gave me a look of like, whoa, that was not what I expected. And then it started hailing, and then she just sort of all the way back. This dog will walk forever. But yesterday she was just looking at me like, Daddy, we should be at home now.
Yeah.
This is not funny anymore. So, thank God for the dogs we've got in our lives, really.
Yes, definitely.
So tell me a bit about how kind of Margins came about, because it's not where your career was originally, is it?
No, it's about 5 years ago. I was working for the British Red Cross in emergency response and first aid. Unfortunately, they had a huge restructure, so my job was going to be no longer, and I was made redundant. So following that, I was with them for 10 years. I had an amazing time with all the stuff that we did, but it was time to think about doing something else. I had actually already, coincidentally, I had booked to challenge myself because I've had a few hip problems and surgery and what have you. So I challenged myself to walk Hadrian's Wall for 84 miles. And it coincided with me actually being made redundant from the Red Cross literally the following week, which was fantastic because it gave me something to focus on once I left work. And I went with a friend. Absolutely loved it. Yes, it was challenging, and we were, you know, kind of walking sort of 15 to 20 miles a day, but we were camping and someone else was putting the tents up for us. And the idea of doing something similar along the Norfolk Coast Path, this seed started to grow in my mind. And myself and Mark do have a background in search and rescue, deploying overseas to earthquakes. So we've put up a few tents in our lives.
Just a couple, yeah.
Not on the luxury end, I have to say, but very much have an understanding of being self-sufficient and what's needed to be able to feel safe and comfortable under canvas. And so this seed started to grow. And once I'd finished Hadrian's Wall, which I was absolutely elated with, and that feeling of accomplishing something, as you will know from your marathons that you've run and your runs and things, amazing feeling that you've accomplished something and you just want to be able to bottle that feeling. So I thought, well, how could I make this happen in Norfolk? We've got an amazing Norfolk Coast Path that had just been extended from Hunstanton to Hopton-on-Sea. So that was also 84 miles, which was interesting. And yeah, so I came back and, well, first of all, I said to my husband, I've got an idea, I've been thinking. He normally turns around and says, oh my God, how much is going to cost? Which was probably the correct answer from this point of view, because I've got an idea of. But he loved the idea. So it grew from there of looking at a way that I could put tents up for people along the coast path whilst they walked it and enjoyed it, but providing them with the basic needs that they would be able to have an amazing adventure, you know, offer someone to sleep, something to eat and all that kind of stuff, and transport their luggage. And that's where I knocked on your door, Jason, and sort of said, I've got an idea, would you listen to me? And you very kindly made me a cup of tea, and under the circumstances, you took time to listen to my mad idea, and it grew from there.
Well, that's really good. I'm glad. And both of us sit on the Norfolk Trails Partnership Committee, yeah. And it's wonderful to have a fellow tourism business that can kind of input to the process of trying to integrate all of the offerings along the North Norfolk coast with the wonderful coastline and the fantastic path that we've got. And it's the conversations that we've had with numerous people about, look, you know, this is exactly what should be happening all along the coast. And so we kind of roll forward. So you've been offering these sort of walking holidays and stuff through the last few years. And Deepdale's been one of the stops along the way. And then 2019, you had some tents kind of with us. You had so many inquiries about having tents with us all the time,
yeah,
that you kind of permanently put them up for some of the season, didn't you? And yeah. The plan was we were going to fully embrace that in 2020, but 2020 had alternative plans for all of us. Coming into 2021, we've got it all planned and we've got bookings coming in for your wonderful tents at Deepdale for the whole season, haven't we?
Yes, yeah. So like you say, I mean, it has been an amazing 4 years of how we've kind of worked together and how we've watched our businesses grow. But one of the things that is very apparent is that the most popular place for us to put our tents up is the wonderful Deepdale. And so the business started to sort of adapt in a different direction when we were kind of stopped by people saying, are you putting tents up for people? Once we were putting tents up for people, obviously on your campsite. And then they'd ask, do we have to do all the walking? Because it would be amazing if we could just come and stay at Deepdale in one of your tents for a holiday and then we decide what we're going to do. So that's kind of how it started to develop more, and very quickly it took off that, you know, people could book us to put a tent up on your fantastic campsite and they'd turn up in our tents, everything would be there waiting for them, the beds, the kitchen, comfy duvets, lighting, absolutely everything that they needed for a hassle-free luxury camping holiday. And it's developed more now that we've decided to actually have two tents up permanently through the season. We have got new tents, which are larger, proper glamping safari tents. And I'm very excited to be able to put them up this year. on some of your exclusive pitches overlooking the woodlands where that have the most amazing sunsets and lovely large pitches. So there will again be everything that people need in the tents so they can just turn up and have a fantastic holiday and the views will be amazing. So they'll be sat there with their gin and tonics or a wonderful beer and watch the sunset around a fire pit.
That's, yeah, that sounds idyllic, really, quite frankly. I think people would bite our arms for it, and people are, you know, when we look at the bookings for them this year, it's wonderful to see, you know, them really building up and people beginning to understand. I think it's fascinating talking to customers. You know, we've rethought the offering at Deepdale very significantly, and that includes your wonderful tents and, you know, the way that we're approaching sizes of pitches and the rooms within the what were hostels and now are kind of much more focusing on private rooms and that kind of thing. And it's amazing how the last year, as much as it has been frustrating and it's been heartbreaking at times, it's also allowed thinking time, and out of that kind of sense of frustration and, you know, disappointment about the way that the year has been sort of panning out, it's actually forced all of us to have lots of conversations around what we should be doing and how we should develop and where should we go with things. And I think it's going to be a much stronger offering and a much more popular offering going forward in a way that we wouldn't have guessed. You know, if you told me last January, February, when we thought there's going to be an incredible year going forward, that where we would be now, I would have told you you're insane. But actually, I think we've all had the opportunity to really think through where we've got to, haven't we, really? And I think it's a fascinating journey rather than a fantastic journey. I think the journey's been fascinating in lots of ways.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say it's been a kind of a roller coaster of emotions. So, you know, it's that, you know, unfortunately last year we weren't able to do any of our walking holidays, and we will no longer be offering our walking holidays because, you know, things have changed. We're not going to be able to, you know, set up as we used to. You know, a lot of things were against us last year when it comes, you know, to COVID and the way that we operate our holidays. But on a very positive, it's given us time to reflect, you know, sort of listen to what our guests have sort of said and talk to you who have been so supportive so that we can continue to offer our services. Because we very much like to think of it more as luxury camping rather than all singing, all dancing, glamping. It's people still get the outdoor experience. They still feel like they're camping, but everything's been provided for them. So there isn't a hot tub, but we've concentrated more on people having a good night's sleep. So this time we are actually going to be putting proper beds in the tents and still with the duvets and pillows that everyone seems to love when they turn up in our tents. And there will be a lovely little kitchen area with just about everything you could possibly need. And there'll be, you know, there'll be lovely seating areas and, like I say, the fire pit outside and seating outside and all the lighting's there and everything that you need to be able to just turn up and still feel that you're having an outdoor living experience. You've got that security of you being on the campsite. You've got all the facilities that Deepdale's got as well. So if you don't fancy cooking for yourself, then obviously you can either go to the cafe, you can go to the supermarket, you can go to the pubs. So everything's on your doorstep. But because of the location of the tents, you'll feel you've got your own little secluded area as well. So it's lovely.
I think the thing that works really well for us with your particular offering is that you, like us, feel that the people who come to Deepdale are coming to entertain themselves. And that might literally just be sitting in a beautiful surroundings with a book, but it may also be going off and finding somewhere to swim in the sea or somewhere to walk or somewhere to cycle or somewhere to birdwatch or whatever, or just enjoying the big skies or the sunsets or, you know, that kind of thing. And watching the nature. And I think that's the thing that we wanted to find as partners at Deepdale was a way to have additional extras, but didn't kind of say to people, we will entertain you. we still want people to come and explore and entertain themselves and enjoy the coast. And we felt that your offering was exactly the right kind of additional extra. So it gives that bit of, you know, extra poshness in terms of quality and luxury, but it doesn't detract from, you know, enjoying the beautiful North Norfolk coast for being a beautiful environment and being a beautiful place. So it's lovely to have you with us.
We like to enable people to create their own adventures.
Yeah.
Hassle-free.
Perfectly put. Perfectly put. Excellent. Excellent. Well, if you are interested in booking one of these wonderful tents, you can head to our website, click Luxury Camping, and it will tell you all the information you need. You can book on the booking form, just fill in the information. It'll tell you prices and availability. If you get stuck, do give us a call. The team are back in the office now, and you can give us a call on 01485 210 256, but you should find everything you need on the website, and there's photos and more information. We would love to see you this season. Fingers crossed, we will see lots of Eugene at Deepdale over the next 12 months or so, and you know, not least hopefully for the Deepdale Festival and other events. And the team are very, very much looking forward to your incredible baking skills. So it's not that we don't want to see you. Just that your cakes are a significant advantage to your attendance at Deepdale. So,
you've sussed out how I bribed you all to.
Yeah, the team are under no illusions that when you turn up, you bring cake, and so literally they'll do anything for you.
My smile and my personality, but no, it's my cake.
Yeah. Your smile and your personality are wonderful, but your cakes are just something extra special.
And I will be at as many events as I possibly can.
Brilliant. Well, really lovely to chat with you, Jim. Thanks for joining us, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the not too distant future.
Yes, lovely. Thanks for having me.
Back on Zoom with Chris. We are seeing a lot more of each other now because Chris is back in the office dealing with advanced bookings for this season. It's just lovely to have the team kind of back in a bit now, just having faces and more cups of tea on the site is really lovely. I think all of the farm team have missed everybody, and it's been really lovely to have everybody with us. So how are you doing, man?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Yeah, we are we're good. We're enjoying getting the team back together. It's slowly, gently, I think, because it's a bit of a culture shock for them after a few months spent on furlough again during this latest lockdown. But it's all going well. We're enjoying talking to lots of customers who are looking forward to coming back to stay with us this year, which will be a novelty, but it will be a welcome novelty. Yeah, we'll see how the next month or two pans out.
Yeah, so let's go through the big dates that we've got kind of coming up. So 12th of April is the biggie, isn't it? Because that's when we can open, but we can't use our shower blocks.
Yeah, I better get these right because I've been explaining them to the team and then testing them on them, and I'd better get them right. So
I'll play this absolutely back to them. If you get it wrong, it'll be fine.
Yeah. So the 12th of April, yes, is the earliest we can open in any capacity whatsoever. And we can open our campsite for those customers who are are able to bring their own facilities with them. And that's going to include people with tents and the old toilet tent this time. And then after that, it's the 17th of May, which is the big date, really, that we're looking for, which will allow us to open our toilets and showers, as far as the government are saying at the moment. And it will also potentially allow us to open our rooms again and our kitchen and sitting room in some capacity, although, again, we're not quite sure what yet. But yeah, that's the big
still games. Awaiting guidelines on that one.
Yeah,
aren't we?
We are. Yeah, and you know, we're promised 7 days' notice of your confirmation of all these things. So really, we'll be ears pinned back on the 5th of April, and also then on the 10th of May.
Yeah. I'm hoping the guidelines come before that. It would be really useful if they did, but
hey, oh, no. I'm pretty sure they won't. But we'll yeah, I think we're used to that sort of thing. Yeah, so we're getting ready. You know, we're starting to ease open the petals of the flower that is Deepdale. See what it looks like when it sees the sunshine and the fresh air and the breeze and the, you know, the birds and the. And the bees that are going to come back and pollinate from all the cover crops and stuff that's on the farm. So, yeah, it's waking up from a long sleep. That's what it feels like at the moment. And, we'll get there.
That's cool. Yeah. So, and then in theory, in June, so everything's back to normal in terms of sort of stuff locally. The shops will open on the 12th of April again if that date sticks. And the cafe will be able to open for serving outside. So there'll be sort of tables, both sets of tables, sort of front and back. They'll be able to serve there. So that's quite exciting. That's and the, yeah. the White Horse will be opening their bar and sort of restaurant sort of down on the marsh with open air sort of stuff there. So
yeah.
And the Jolly have got their garden. So there's plenty of options within the village to eat and drink. Just bring lots of clothes to prepare for whatever weather appears, because there won't be any rushing inside to take cover, because it'll be out to open air only.
So, yes. Yeah. Well, you know, obviously we have booked the same weather that we had for the lockdown last year. And,
absolutely. It's just going to be beautiful, stunning weather. It'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be lovely. Yes. A little heat wave and off we go.
Excellent. So excellent. Yep. So that's cool. And then. And then 17th of May, then in theory, the cafes and pubs can open indoors as well for small groups. Yep. So so that's quite exciting. And then in theory, in June, you know, the world becomes a normal place. So we'll see what happens.
Yes. Yeah. The 21st of June, theoretically, is the date that, you know, mixed household groups can come and stay with us indoors again. So you know, we're looking there at the granary in its new incarnation, how it's set up. And so groups potentially can come and stay with us after that date.
Yeah.
Up to obviously its new capacity of 14 with its new double beds and private room type setup. So looking forward to that, because I don't think we've had people to stay in the granary properly since it started to have its various little makeovers in the bathrooms, the heating, and now the bedrooms. So it's a slightly different place still. With the same feel, but yeah, be good.
No, it's going to be lovely, and really pleased with the double beds that we've made from the. Well, Simon and Stephen took apart the old bunk beds. I took them over to Norwich, and Ashley and his team converted them into double beds. So they've got that sort of rustic, upcycled feel to them, which is lovely.
Yeah,
no, it's nice to know that the bunks have become something bigger, something more advanced. So. That's cool.
Yeah, and the rooms are lighter as well, which because the bunks, the tall bunks aren't there in the same way, they're not blocking out as much light from some of the windows, and so the rooms are lighter, and there's a bit more space in them.
Yeah,
and it should be great.
No, it's going to be really nice, really nice.
Yeah,
and then we're sort of after that we're sort of summer will be here before we know it, and then we're sort of looking forward to. The Deepdale Festival in September, and the open air theatre with the Pantaloons in July and August. So we've got, you know, it's sort of the programme sort of building quite nicely. It's great. You've already confirmed a load of bands for the festival, which is fantastic. So
we were very lucky in that the artists that we had booked for last year's festival, which obviously we had to cancel, you know, have pretty much all rolled over and reconfirmed for this year. And then we've got some more that we're popping in there now with the obviously very sad cancellation of the Hooker. And so we are we're getting a few of those to come and play for us in September. And, you know, getting the mojo back about talking to artists, booking artists. It's been a, you know, it's such a strange period when we haven't been able to even really think about that. And now being able to think about it positively and to talk to people about playing and coming over and seeing them again is great. It's very good.
It's exciting, and it's really weird because I'm working my way through the internet chain, you know, updating the fact that we've now moved from sort of Deepdale backpacks and camping to Deepdale camping and rooms, and I'm pleasantly surprised by the number of places I've managed to get us listed around the internet, but it does mean that a rebranding exercise is taking significantly longer than I would have liked it to. Every time I do a search for Deepdale backpackers just to see what I need to change next, there's many thousands of entries and I'm slowly working my way through them, so I'm sure it'll make more sense in due course, but it's a slow process. But I'm really pleased with the new offering. I think it's just right for what we're doing, and I think the rooms are going to be really, really popular once people see what they're, you know, what is on offer. I think it'll be fantastic.
Yeah, they're already really popular in terms of booking, actually. So that's, you know, we've been snowed under with booking inquiries since the 22nd of February. Literally snowed under with them, and we are going to be very, very busy this year.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good. It's good to see. Good to feel. And getting those days back again will be wonderful.
It's going to be so nice. Yeah. Just particularly having campervans and motorhomes back on. It's just going to be so lovely.
And tents. You know, I'm looking forward to the tents. You know, let's get the tents back onto Deepdale and.
Get the VWs back on, and yeah, it's going to be great.
Absolutely.
My favourite place.
So I'm really pleased. Jin has volunteered, no arm twisting at all, honest, to talk about her favourite place on the North Norfolk coast. As you know, it's a little segment we like to put into the podcast. And so, Jin, tell me, what is your favourite place?
Well, it's a hard one because there are so many.
That is true.
From obviously what I have been doing for the last 4 years, going up and down the coast almost on a daily basis, there are actually so many to choose from. But there is always one that I will never, ever tire of. And that is walking from Burnham Overy Staithe along the coast path towards Holcombe to the beach. So you get to walk along the flood bank with the estuary on one side and all the nature reserve and the marshes on the other side. And the different, doesn't matter what time of year you do it, it's spectacular, and the skies are huge. They're absolutely amazing. And of course, you're looking out to Skulthead Island. And then you come up to the sand dunes and you walk up the top of the sand dune, and oh my goodness, the view is amazing. Every time, gets me every time, and I just have to stop and look at the view. And if you're lucky enough to get it when the tide is out, you've just got this huge expanse of sand that you just have to go and explore. Dogs love it. The wildlife is amazing. And the views, it's just, you just always seem to find it as well that you're just about on your own too. You can get away from it all. And you just have to take a moment, and it just makes you stop and appreciate life in general.
It is a stunningly beautiful place. It really is. Yeah, I don't think if anybody's not experienced looking from the top of Gun Hill down over the bay, you know, the Holcombe Bay, and just you can see the whole curve of the bay and the incredible sort of juxtaposition of the, you know, the pine woods and the dunes and the beach and the sea. It's just, yeah. It's breathtaking, isn't it?
Every time. There's another colleague that you know, Jason, Helen Terry. She'd never done it. And it was after one of the meetings, the Norfolk Trails meetings that we've been to. And she said, would you take me somewhere? anywhere that's got a wow factor. And the weather was really closing in and it was absolutely freezing. It was a November, December time, I think. And I said, well, if you wrap up warm, I'll take you somewhere. And honestly, that when we're walking, I must admit, we're walking into the wind and it was like, what the heck are we doing? It's absolutely freezing. But the sky was just amazing. It was incredible. The different colours from the real darkness of the stormy clouds. And then you'd get the sun would try and sort of seep through. And then I got her to the sand dune. And again, all I could hear was, wow! And I said, well, if I can get a wow from you in weather like this, then, you know, it's that says it all. So yes, it is an amazing place, but it's so the actual coastline itself is so diverse, unbelievably diverse.
Yeah.
So I encourage anyone to not just go to the honeypot places, but just explore and find all the other places that you can quite often find. You get it all to yourself as well. Yeah. The beauty of Deepdale is we have so much knowledge of the coast. So if you want to find some different places than other places that, you know, people tend to go to, then ask the team, because there is it's a wonderful place.
I love it because the team will have their favorite places, and quite a lot of them have talked about them on the podcast in the past. And I love the fact that they kind of, you know, if you piece all of those pieces together, you kind of end up with this incredible knowledge of the whole coast. And I the really enjoyable thing is when one person is waxing lyrical to customer about their favorite place and sort of saying, oh, you've got to go and see this, and the others are sort of listening in and going, oh, remember that for next time, you know. And they go off and explore it themselves as well. And it is wonderful. Well, thank you, Jen. It's so nice to chat with you. I am hoping that in the not too distant future we are enjoying a beer around a fire pit, because we need to. And keep really well. Look, enjoy those two mad dogs you've got, and that slightly insane husband. Is he still in shorts?
Yes.
Yeah. No, he likes to wear shorts all the way through the year.
When we had the snow.
Yeah.
He had every other layer on possible, but he still had shorts.
Still had shorts. The man is, yes, he's a man mountain, and he's moved many bales for me and directed much traffic. Keep well, lovely lady, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. See you all soon. Bye.
Simon is in Hunstanton where he lives. I'm in Aylsham where I live. We haven't seen each other very much in the last few months because of furlough and, you know, all of the COVID stuff. But it's great to see you, Simon. Thank you for joining me. I know our listeners have missed your dulcet tones on the podcast, so it's great to have you back. How are you doing, man? Are you staying sane?
Hello, Jason. And hello, Deepdale listeners. I'm staying very sane with the spring coming and the snow leaving us. Things are looking much more rosy. I can't wait for the summer to kick off. Big changes at Deepdale this year. Of course, now Deepdale Camping and Rooms. Yeah, fantastic. It's been great chatting to people on the phone. We've been doing a lot. We've been doing, obviously, we're not open, but bookings are still coming in thick and fast. And they all need dealing with. And as we do, we speak to pretty much everybody we have come and stay, and we make sure we've got everything right. So it's really a case of just tailoring, you know, what people want with what we have and matching them up and making sure everyone's happy and safe for the future.
I fully comprehend that you haven't been overly inspired to do your top fives, but I'm hoping that they're going to return again in the not too distant future. But, if you had to pick a place, you know, almost your favourite place that you're looking forward to returning to, where are you most hoping to head to?
It seems a bit bizarre, but just coming back to work these last, you know, couple of weeks, I've actually missed standing down at the bus stop at Hunstanton at the top of the cliffs. That's where I catch it every morning. And standing there early in the morning with the birds flying and the sea and the views, I realised that I did actually miss just going to work in the mornings. hammock campers out there normally are found hidden away down the woods, completely self-sufficient and very proud of it and whatnot. But the idea of going to a campsite with its own facilities and, of course, Wi-Fi and all the comforts, it's completely different. You can completely relax. You haven't got to run around making sure that, you know, everything's stowed away, and all of those hassles disappear as soon as you go to a campsite where, you know, all the facilities are there. It's glamorous hammock camping, isn't it, really?
Yes.
I spoke to Katie Spencer, played for us a few times now. I was speaking to her, we just had to move her set day for the festival. So I was chatting with her over the weekend, and she's got her new EP coming out shortly, 2nd of April. Her new EP is coming out, and that is going to be fantastic. I've had a little sneaky preview from her, and it's brilliant. Truly brilliant. It's a wonderful sort of tribute to her musical.
She's kept herself nicely busy, actually. She's kept herself really nicely busy while we've been in lockdown. So,
yeah.
So is that going to be your music recommendation, Katie Spencer's new EP? Is that going to be the
music recommendation? Yeah, it is. Yeah, her most recent album, Weatherbeaten, I was playing it again the other day. It's lovely. It's such a warm record. The playing is incredible. Her guitar playing is world class. It's absolutely fantastic, her guitar playing. And her lyrics and vocals, so confident, so mature, her songwriting. And, you know, she's got this Joni Mitchell type vibe, but in a folky, jazzy, British sort of way. You can really feel that it's rooted in English folk. And it's lovely. I love it. Absolutely love it. So, yes, Hurt in Your Heart is the new EP, and that's available to pre-order from Katie's website, Bandcamp. If you pop onto her Facebook page, you'll find the links. So yeah, I would strongly recommend that. And she's playing at the festival in September. She's playing on the Sunday now.
Land there.
Hurt in Your Heart by the wonderful Katie Spencer.
And have you had, in amongst dealing with all the thousands of bookings, have you had any time to read any books in the last month?
Well, that has, I must admit, that has been a bit more of a struggle. Getting back to full on, I mean, some days I think I was working from 7:30 in the morning till 1:00 the following morning, trying to keep on top of these bookings. So it has been tough reading at the same time, yeah. And getting through. But I'm reading a couple of books. I'm reading a bit more of a serious one, which is Naomi Klein and the Shock Doctrine. Naomi Klein's Shock Doctrine.
Right.
And it is all about disaster capitalism and the way that governments through the last few decades have taken advantage of disasters and shocks to systems to introduce massive change that has benefited some people and not others, shall we say. And so, yeah, I'm reading that at the minute, which is absolutely fascinating. And then the most recent novel I've got through is actually really, really good. And that is The Overstory by Richard Powers. And that is, it's fiction. It's about trees and it's got a lot of science in it. So it's not science fiction. It is fiction with science. And it is really, really great. You think, because I looked at it, I had it for quite a while before I read it. And I just couldn't quite pick it up and open the covers because I kept thinking, oh, it's a novel about trees. How interesting can a novel about trees actually be? But it is gripping. It's absolutely gripping. If you're in any way interested in the natural world and, you know, the life of trees and plants, but think, oh, can there really be a gripping novel about that sort of thing? Well, there is, and it's this one. It's amazing.
So say that one again.
Yeah, The Overstory by Richard Powers. Yeah.
Okay, The Overstory by Richard Powers. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, okay. Yeah. Exhilarating book to read. It really is.
Well, I'm really pleased because a few people have said they've started reading The Night Circus, having me recommended mm-hmm. it on the last podcast.
Yeah,
cool. And I'm really enjoying The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I haven't.
Which is an old guy sort of sets out to post a letter and ends up walking halfway across the country. And it's really interesting. And I love the characters that he sort of observes along the way, the couple mm-hmm. who are dressed in walking gear, you know, sort of when he arrives in one of the towns. It's just hilarious and not necessarily for the right reasons, but it is very funny. And but I'm really enjoying that book at the moment. So, and I also, I lost that because I hadn't had time to finish it, so it went back on the Libby system on the computer, which I mentioned. The reading system. Yeah. You don't have to pay any fines, but occasionally the books disappear before you've got chance to renew them. But I started reading a book called Seven, which is about a young sort of Japanese stroke British girl who finds herself in the underworld of London, which is quite interesting. You know, sort of all of the place that she works in a club comes together is sort of all the various entities of the London underworld kind of come together from Japanese and British and Russian and all sorts of other things. So it's quite an interesting reading, very different to anything I've read in a while. So that's quite good fun.
So
that's good. That's good. Girl. Excellent. Well, thank you, man. Really nice to talk to you.
Yeah, no, you're welcome as ever.
I'm looking forward to being able to replace the Deepdale Festival t-shirt you're wearing now with a Deepdale Festival 2021 t-shirt. That'll be really nice.
Yeah, that will be nice. Yeah.
So, and we'll make sure you've got a couple of pink shirts just because you do look good in pink. You just refuse to wear them.
No, I've been wearing them through lockdown.
You've been converted, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, and if you're looking for something great to watch on TV, I don't know if you're a Netflix fan, but American friend, we've been really fascinated in American politics for a long time, and so we listened to Americast with John Sopel and Emily Maitlis, that team, and it was just really fascinating and has been particularly fascinating in the Trump era. However, really wonderful friend of mine from my UN days, Anne, three of us met up with her in Washington when we were over there, and she organized for a tour around the Capitol building, all sorts of stuff. And then she said, look, there's this amazing show on Netflix. It's called Amend. And basically it's about how the amendments to the original constitution in the US have sort of come about and all the processes. And it sort of, so it started slavery and then their own internal wars and, you know, how the states work with the federal system. And then it moved on to racial rights. And then it moved on to women's rights. And then the last one was LGBT plus rights. And then the last one's going to be immigrants and migrants. And yeah, really, really interesting, kind of lots of really fascinating people and sort of interspersed with sort of actors playing different things, you know, sort of stuff, interviews, and then lots of really, really interesting academics and pressure group people and stuff like that. Really, really worth it. If you're interested in American politics, it's fascinating.
We'll look it out.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Deepdale Podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast through any good podcast sites, including Apple, Google, Castbox, where we host our podcast. Just type in Deepdale Podcast, your favourite provider, and we should be there. We'd love your feedback, so please do email us your thoughts and suggestions to podcast@deepdalefarm.co.uk. But in the meantime, if you'd like to listen to previous episodes, you can find them on your podcast provider or head to our website, deepdalecamping.co.uk or deepdalefarm.co.uk, to see the whole back catalogue. The December 2020 episode is a must, as Chris gives us his music release recommendations for 2020. Thanks again for listening. Stay safe and well in these strange times, and hope we'll see you back at Deepdale in the not too distant future.
Skies all open wide, geese go high and over. Oh, now you're a beachcomber, fistful of samphire, sea lavender, sea.